Will you please stand for the reading of the gospel? A reading from John chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in. And he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. Please be seated. You'll find in your program this morning an insert with some notes on it that I would invite you to follow along as we share in God's Word together and to write things down as you feel led to do so. You know, if you walk in the gathering space by the Welcome Center of our church, you can't help but see the large painting of Jesus that's on the cover of your teaching notes and your bulletin this morning. This is a reproduction of a famous depiction of the scene in Revelation 3:20, painted by German painter Heinrich Hoffmann, who also painted the scene up here, and which was reproduced as well. Revelation 3:20 says this, "Listen, I am standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you and eat with you, and you with me." Now, the reproduction that we have was painted by the Reverend C. Guy Stombach, who was pastor of this church in the 1940s and 50s. And we notice, as we look at it carefully, that Jesus has an aura around his head, a sign of his divinity. He's also wearing a white robe with a pink cloak. White, often associated with holiness and purity, and pink with love and kindness. And we notice, too, that Jesus is holding a staff in his hand, reminding us that he is the good shepherd, holy and pure, loving and kind. Jesus, our shepherd, stands at the door knocking. Now, the house depicted in this painting is quite formidable looking. The walls are made of very thick stone. The door is foreboding. It doesn't even have a handle. It can only be opened from the inside. And there's a small opening we see at eye level so that the person inside the house can see visitors that come to the door and then decide whether or not to open the door. And you may notice, too, that there's an overgrown vine that crosses over in front of the door, suggesting that maybe the entrance to this house has not been used for a long time. And so this painting leaves us with a question. Will the person inside the house open the door and welcome Jesus in? Now, on Sunday mornings, hundreds of people pass by that painting. First-time guests to the church, as well as long-time church members. And many gather under that painting before and after services, often with a cup of coffee in their hand, enjoying Christian fellowship. And all week long, people pass by it. Children and parents and teachers here for the Little Friends Nursery School. Men playing basketball in the multi-purpose room, church members on their way to studies and meetings and rehearsals, and people from the community also pass by, attending numerous activities. And this painting, which so often goes unnoticed, is there as a reminder to all of us that Jesus is knocking. He knocks at the door of your heart and mine. He wants to gain entrance. He desires rich, deep fellowship with you. Fellowship that will bless your life beyond measure. And on this glorious Easter morning, I want to ask every one of you, have you opened that door? Have you let Jesus in to your life? As we look at John's story of Easter in John chapter 20, we meet some people who opened the door and welcomed Jesus in, and we see that as Jesus came into their hearts, it made a significant difference for the rest of their lives. One of the three people we meet in this story is Simon Peter. And as you can see in number one in your notes, for Simon Peter, Easter opens the door to a new beginning. Early Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene goes out to the tomb and finds that the stone is rolled away, and she runs to tell Simon Peter and the other unnamed disciple that the body of Jesus is gone. Soon, Simon Peter and this other disciple are in a foot race to the tomb. And you might notice that two different times in the story, the other disciple says that he ran faster than Peter to get there. First, the other disciple looks in, but he doesn't go inside the tomb yet. And then in verse 6, we read this. Following him, Simon Peter entered the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying there, and he also saw the face cloth that had been on Jesus' head. It wasn't with the other clothes, but was folded up in its own place. Now, as we watch Simon Peter entering the tomb, We might remember where Simon Peter was the last time we saw him in John's gospel. At the Last Supper, Jesus says that soon every one of his disciples will abandon him. And Simon Peter declares, well, these others might turn away, Lord, but not me. I'll never turn away from you. And then Jesus says, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Now, all four Gospels give an account of the denial of Peter. Mark's Gospel says that at that moment the cock crowed. Then Peter remembered what the Lord had said, before the cock crows twice, you'll deny me three times. And Peter broke down and he wept. As Simon Peter comes to the tomb Easter morning, he is carrying a whole lot of guilt and a whole lot of shame. Just when the Lord needs him most, he denies that he even knows him. Now, as we look at Simon this morning, every one of us recognize that we might stand right there with him. In our thoughts, in our words, in our actions, we all struggle with trying to be faithful. In the movie Godfather 3, the aging mafia chief, Don Michael Corleone, seeks to disentangle his family from a life of crime and to remove them from this violent criminal underworld that they're part of. But despite his best efforts, the rising generation of mafia criminals keep pulling him back into this underworld. Exasperated by it all, at one point in the movie, Don Corleone lets out this anguished cry, just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in. Do we not find ourselves letting out the same cry? We struggle to break free of some habit or sin, only to find ourselves being drawn back in. But Easter opens the door to a new beginning. And Simon Peter's story does not end in despair. The next time we see Simon after this story is over in John 21, and it's early in the morning, and Simon and his friends are out fishing on the lake. They've been fishing all night and haven't caught a thing. And then from the beach, this stranger calls out, cast your nets on the other side. And when they do, the catch is so great that it's breaking their nets. And suddenly they realize that it's the risen Lord Jesus standing there on the beach. And Peter jumps into the water and swims to the shore. And soon he's having breakfast, a fish fry on the beach with Jesus. And then after breakfast, Jesus says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Three times he repeats it. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And John says that Jesus, after he said this the third time, Peter felt hurt. And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. John tells us that Peter's hurt. And yet Jesus keeps repeating this question for a good reason. Because he knows the guilt and the shame that Peter is carrying with him. And he shows Peter that even though he denied Jesus three times, All is forgiven. The risen Christ shows Simon Peter and us that no matter how great our sin, His grace is greater. Jesus offers forgiveness, full and free. I love the way the Apostle Paul describes what God has done for us in Christ in the first chapter of Colossians. Look at these words. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. Listen, Jesus says, I am standing at the door knocking. Christ invites you and me to let go of all that is past and to have a new beginning. For Simon Peter, Easter opens the door to a new beginning, and the same is true for you and for me. Now, John doesn't tell us the name of this second character in the story, but many believe that it is John himself because of the way this story is told. Whichever disciple is there with Simon Peter at the tomb, under number 2 in the notes, we see that Easter opens the door to a new answer for life's most important question. A new answer for life's most important question. One of the great Christian thinkers of the 20th century was Karl Barth. And in one of his essays, he took up the question of what brings people like you and me to worship on Sunday morning. And I find his answer interesting. What brings people to worship, not just on Easter, but any day, he writes, is the unspoken question clinging to their hearts and minds. And that question is this. Is it true? Is it true that God lives and gives us life? Now, you and I might say this morning that we've come to church because we love the church and we love Jesus. And there's no place we'd rather be. Or we might say that we've come to church because it's just what we've always done on Easter Sunday. Or we might say we've come to church because somebody made us come. But whatever that answer might be, Barth suggests that in reality, we are, every one of us here, because we want to know, is it true? Is God alive? Does He give life? The other disciple raced to the tomb. He ran faster than Simon Peter, and he wanted to know whether it was true. And according to John, when he looks in the tomb, he sees some evidence that the same evidence that Simon does. But John adds something. Then the other disciple, the one who arrived at the tomb first, also went inside and he saw and believed. Jesus says the other disciple sees the same evidence of the risen Christ, and when he does, he believes. This other disciple finds the new answer to life's most important question. The Lord is risen. John the Beloved begins the first epistle with these powerful words, remembering that Easter morn, I think. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testify to it and declare to you that the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. And so if you were to ask this other disciple that was there on Easter morning, is it true? Is God alive? He would tell you. He's had some firsthand, up-close experience with the risen Lord. He's seen him, he's heard him, he's touched him. He would invite you, as Christ invites all of us, into eternal fellowship with God. We have such hope because it is true. During the deepest, darkest days of apartheid in South Africa, when the government tried to shut down opposition by canceling political rallies, Archbishop Desmond Tutu declared that he would hold a church service instead. St. George's Cathedral in Cape Town was filled with worshipers that day. And outside the cathedral, hundreds of police gathered, a show of force intended to intimidate the people. As Tutu was preaching, all these police came inside the cathedral armed and lined the walls all the way around the church. And then they took out notebooks and started writing down the things that Bishop Tutu was saying. But Tutu would not be intimidated. He preached openly about the evils of apartheid and declared that it could not endure. And at one extraordinary point, he addressed all those officers directly. He said, "You know, you are powerful. You are very powerful, but you are not God. And I serve a God who cannot be mocked. So since you've already lost," he said, "since you've already lost, I invite you today to come and join the winning side." And with that, the congregation in that old cathedral erupted in dance and song, and the police didn't know what to do. Their attempts at intimidation had failed, overcome by the archbishop's confidence that it is true, that God is alive, that good would triumph over evil. It was just a matter of time. Friends, we may not be struggling against apartheid like Bishop Tutu was, but on this Easter morning, we can have the same confidence that he had. For God is alive in this world with all of its evils, and goodness will triumph over evil. For Simon Peter, Easter opens the door to a new beginning. For this other disciple, Easter opens the door to the new answer to life's most important question. And then there is this other character, a woman. And for Mary Magdalene, Easter opens the door to a new future. The story, as John tells it, begins with Mary coming to the tomb in the early morning darkness, and it ends with Mary going out as the first Christian witness. But in between the beginning and the end, there's a whole lot of weeping. John says in verse 11 that Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she bent over to look in the tomb. And in verse 12, she sees two angels, and they ask her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And then soon, she sees Jesus, but thinks he's the gardener, and he asks her the same question, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And we know why she's weeping. Because her heart is so filled with grief that she just can't stop the tears. Mary's weeping reminds me of one of my earliest encounters with grief in my childhood. I was 12 years old when my Grandma Keller passed away, and I remember the night she died, my aunt came to spend the night in our home. She had lived with my grandparents her entire life. She had lovingly cared for Grandma for several years before her death. And that night, she slept in the bedroom right next to mine. And late into the night, I couldn't sleep because I could just hear her weeping. And I realized then how much she loved Grandma and how much her heart was broken because Grandma had died. Now, I know that many of you here have experienced that same heartache, that pain that overshadows everything else. And Mary Magdalene here is weeping and weeping and weeping, hopeless, as she looks at the future. And then Jesus calls out her name, Mary! And she turns and says to him, Teacher! And Jesus said to her, Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet gone to my Father, but go to my brothers and sisters and tell them, I'm going up to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene left and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. And then she told them what he said to her. You see, for Mary Magdalene, Easter opens the door to a new future. The risen Lord sends her to witness to the good news. And on this Easter morn, you and I are people with hope for a new future. Listen, I am standing at the door knocking, Jesus says. And if you open that door, he will come in and give you the same call that he gave to Mary long ago. We might say, in the words of Francis of Assisi, that the call is the same for all of us. That every one of us is called to preach the gospel at all times and when necessary, to use words. We might say that the call given to us is the one that Jesus gave his disciples before his suffering death. He said, By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Christ invites you and me to find our life's purpose by loving others as he first loved us. That painting, that marvelous painting in the gathering space, reminds us all that Jesus is knocking persistently, graciously, knocking at the door of our hearts. Simon Peter opened the door and Jesus took the burden of his heart away. The other disciple opened the door and Jesus gave him the answer. It's true. He lives. Mary Magdalene opened the door and Jesus directed her toward a new future filled with purpose. Beloved, the risen Savior is knocking at the door of your heart today. Open it. He's knocking. Welcome him in. He's knocking. Now is the time. This is the day for you to have a new beginning, a new answer, a new purpose. He's knocking. Invite Jesus into your heart today. For his word is true. The risen Lord makes all things new.